Tonight I want to speak on a subject that we should always be thoughtful in our minds to ask ourselves certain questions. Certainly this is not the only one. There are many questions that we can daily ask ourselves to help us keep on the right frame of mind, keep us on the right track to do what we need to do to please the Lord. Tonight I want to speak on a subject entitled, Are You High Maintenance? When one utilizes much time and money and effort for something, it is said to be of high maintenance. Businesses, and a lot of people, businesses usually, shun away from people and equipment and ideas that are considered to be of a high expense or high maintenance. People do as well. But there are some things in life that one doesn't mind that if they require high maintenance, depending on what it is. We as Christians today, we have many great blessings, and one of which that we all enjoy is the support from our fellow brethren in times of trouble, both secular things in this world, but most importantly, the spiritual ones. Those who are strong are to support the weak, we are told in Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Jesus came to this earth. He was not interested in pleasing himself. We know he suffered the most cruelest agony and death that any man could have ever endured. He did all that not for himself. He didn't come here to please himself or make himself comfortable. He lived a very impoverished life, preaching the good news of the gospel. He did what he did for us because he loved us, and certainly he was a servant to all. And what he did not do to please himself. He was always there to support the weak, him being strong, but of course he lived a very, very, very humble life. Those who are spiritual are to help those who have overcome in a fault. We are commanded in Galatians 6:1, where the Bible says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We who are spiritually strong should be helping those that have overcome or been overcome in a fault. We who are spiritually strong should support and help the weak. It is the part of the law of Christ for us to bear one another's burdens, the Bible says in the very next verse in Galatians 6:2, where the Bible says, Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we are, as Christians here upon this earth, wish to please God and fulfill the things that Jesus came here and told us what we need to do, if we are to fulfill the law of Christ, so to speak, we are to bear one another's burdens. That's what being a servant of Jesus Christ is all about. At the same time, though, we have a responsibility to become strong and remain strong. No one wants to be weak, really. Society, we know, criticizes and scolds privately and even publicly those who are weak. But the facts are there will always be those who are weak. Some, though, can't help it. The aged, the sick, are usually physically weak. But being weak in the faith, being spiritually weak, is a different story. Each Christian has a responsibility to bear his own load. In Galatians 6:4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. In verse 5, those who do not bear their own burdens are sometimes called or referred to in the world as slackers or lazy. Certainly the apostles were not lazy. Jesus wasn't lazy. Jesus doesn't expect his followers to be lazy or slackers. We all have a job to do in the kingdom of the Lord. As this last song about being a worker. There are a lot of things that we can do as a worker for the Lord, a worker in His vineyard. There are some things that some of us can do that others cannot, and vice versa. We all have talents that we should use, and we should use them to the best of our ability to further the cause of Christ. There are some things that only a few of us here that are sitting here or are not here this evening but are members of the church can do and do well and not and no one else in the congregation can do those things as well. So we all combined as workers in the vineyard, there's more than one. We should all do our part to be strong, strong workers for the Lord. In Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 12, we find a fact that we should always keep in mind as workers in living in this world. We will be held accountable for our actions, whether we're strong or weak, whether we are workers or slackers or what have you. Verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. It is our responsibility to pick ourselves up as well when we seem to slide or slip up. In Hebrews 12 and 12, starting in verse 12, Hebrews 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. God told Noah and his brethren to be fruitful and multiply. Of course, we know that was physically, but here today as Christians, we should be fruitful and multiply as well, but in a spiritual way. We as Christians were commanded in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. In Colossians 1 and 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. John 15 and 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And in John 15 and 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Yes, we'll be held accountable for our actions one day. Certainly behooves us to be doing the things that we have been commanded to do, to be fruitful and multiply spiritually. And in that way, when we train ourselves to become stronger and stronger spiritually, we are able and apt to help those that are weak and that need our help. Some Christians never seem to progress from being supported to supporting themselves. They remain very dependent upon their brethren. Unless constantly nurtured by the brethren, they fall away or become indifferent or uninterested. Such brethren here might be called or described as high maintenance. Let us ask ourselves this question. Are you high maintenance? When is it okay to be high maintenance? What is high maintenance? The definition of high maintenance, first of all, it's used in everyday speech. We've heard the expression before. It refers basically to the need for a lot of attention. I'm sure we all know of some individuals that we've gone to school with or some of our work colleagues or people that we've met that strive and desire and need lots and lots of attention. things that are of high maintenance are things that require requiring a lot of time and energy or money to maintain something in good working order is what's described as something to be of high maintenance. Lots of time and lots of energy. Any person or thing that requires a lot of attention is considered to be of high maintenance. We know that cars, especially the old ones, require a lot of maintenance and a lot of work to keep running well, are said to be high maintenance at times. Employees that require close supervision to do their job right when the boss is not around are considered high maintenance. Our homes, our lawns that need lots of repair and time and tender loving care are sometimes referred to as high maintenance. Significant others that require a lot of expensive gifts or dates, or they lose interest in that person, is considered high maintenance. But as applied to Christians, we find two different categories. Some Christians who are considered high maintenance, it's not a good thing. And then there's others that are other Christians who are in the who are high maintenance, considered high maintenance. It is a good thing. First of all, those that require a lot of attention in order to remain faithful, those that require a lot of coddling and pampering to be active, certainly this shouldn't be this way. The lesson for this afternoon, this evening, is for us to gain strength when we are weak, so that we are self-sufficient, that we may help others, and to move on and grow as the apostles preached to us and as Christ encouraged and preached us to grow in the faith. Babes in Christ, on the other hand, those that are just starting their new spiritual Christian life, they need time and tender love and care. Brethren who spend extra time and effort to train them up certainly don't mind. It's for a good cause. Yes, they are considered high maintenance, but every moment and every effort is worth it with those just starting off having obeyed the gospel. Slothful Christians, secondly, who attend and work only when constantly prodded, it could go either way. But we see that those Christians that are becoming slothful look to start to slide away or to lose interest. We ought to remember that we are to go after those who are backsliding or go after those who are lost. In James 5 and 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. In Luke 15 and 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Certainly, if there's ever been members of the local congregation that we've seen, those that have decided to stop coming to services, and that phone calls or meeting with those individuals to, in a kind, loving way, encourage them to come back. Certainly it's worth our effort. Yes, we're spending extra time and effort with those individuals, but we are doing what we've been commanded to, is to go after and seek the lost and save that which is lost and bring it back to the sheepfold. Even as individuals, I mean, even churches can be high maintenance or not. There are many strong congregations in the world that are not in the high maintenance category, and then others are. A lot of times, no fault of their own, due to false teachings that have creeped in and have divided congregations. I've heard and read several of the faithful old faithful churches of Christ, even in this great nation of ours, that had over time, 20, 30 years ago, a division in the church, split up, and those that were looking to bring innovations and changes into the congregation basically kicked out the faithful members, and they had to go down the road and meet in homes for a while till they could build another building to assemble and worship. Certainly those that had strayed away, that has strayed away from the truth, they're considered high maintenance. The church in Corinth certainly was. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 4, Paul says the following, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Certainly, congregations that keep their mind on the world, keep their mind on carnal things, that do not develop in the spirit, do not develop in spiritual things, and to actively hunger for the Word of God. Certainly, new congregations that have just been started, certainly they've been fed with the milk as they start up. But each and every member is their duty and responsibility to put away childish things and act as grown-ups, act as mature Christians, to put away the milk, which is meant for babes, and desire the strong meat, to grow in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow in the Spirit, so that they may teach and show others the right way, and that in essence makes them stronger. In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 20 through 21, we have another a record of a church that was certainly of high maintenance. "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would. and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again my God will humble me among you, and that I may bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Certainly the church at Corinth was high maintenance. There were some congregations that Paul and the apostles, when they traveled around, probably made more frequent visits to some congregations than others. Of course, the strong ones stopped by for a day or two, maybe, but they were getting on about their business because they knew and had heard of some churches getting weak and some of the internal strife that went on amongst those congregations. And I'm sure that the Apostle Paul visited those churches on a more frequent basis than the stronger ones, because they needed the attention, they needed the support, and they needed the teachings and the rebuke of Paul to correct them where they were wrong. Certainly, he was wanting to make every church strong, and there were some congregations that needed more time and effort to make it such. The church in Philippi, on the other hand, was not. In Philippians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 7. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So it'd be well to know and trust that come judgment day, the Lord has looked favorably upon the congregation that you belong to. Certainly it would be well to be well spoken of by the Lord of the congregation, again, that we belong to here in Longwood. And each one of us as members, each one of us as lively stones that make up this church, this congregation here in Longwood, to do our part, to do the Lord's will, to give every effort in our lives to do our part in strengthening it and making it successful, and make every work that this church does successful. Some high maintenance is good and necessary in the work of the local church, but when it exists when it should not, then there can be, of course, some problems. The difficulty of high maintenance, where it can help, first of all, high maintenance is crucial, again, for the newborn Christian, just as it is for a newborn physical baby. Weak in faith, weak in knowledge, are very susceptible to false teachings. That's why it's our duty to be strong, to help the weak, help those that are first starting off to gain in the knowledge, so that they no longer are weak in the faith, or weak in the spirit, or weak in the knowledge, that they gain knowledge and we teach them right, teach them the things they need to learn, so they will not be susceptible to false teachings when they come our way. We know the Bible tells us that there are many that sway in the wind when they hear different things. Many people have itching ears, always willing to hear something new. And sometimes those new things sound real good, but there's not a bit of truth in them. And if we are not strong in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, strong in the knowledge of the Scriptures, we'll listen to them, believe it, and before you know it, it becomes part of our thought pattern, and it has some influence in our lives. Without proper attention, the weak in the faith and weak in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ may soon be overcome by these false teachers, be overcome by Satan, who we know is going around looking to devour us all if possible. So we should realize that high maintenance is worth the effort for those that are newborn Christians, or those that have strayed away, and that they're coming, that we've helped and enabled them to come back to the Lord before Judgment Day. High maintenance is also essential for the hurting Christian. There are many things in this world that can hurt us. Most of it, usually, we're not to worry about the physical or the sickness or the injury, so to speak, really, physically. But mentally and spiritually, there are many things in the world that can hurt a Christian. with all our effort and love, and to be, you know, slapped in the face, so to speak, or backstabbed or talked about, or, you know, our characters assassinated by those when we're just trying to live a good, peaceful life. We're good and honest at work in our dealings with everyone. And we know that there's, you know, there are always some that are backbiting and criticizing you for the way you are, and that's just being a loving Christian, treating everybody the way that we would want to be treated. And many times it's overwhelming, and it can hurt our minds and hurt our hearts, and it's then that we need the help of a fellow brethren to encourage us to go on. Just as it is for someone who is sick or injured, or someone overtaken in a fault, that are suffering physical illness or persecution, and those people that are weak, they need the high maintenance attention. Without the proper attention, they too would soon be overwhelmed with the things of this world, and certainly become depressed and not be a happy individual. Certainly it's our duty to again help those that have that are sick and injured, of course, and that are suffering physically, but mentally and spiritually as well. In such cases as these, for hurting Christians, high maintenance is certainly called for. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are ruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." Next, where high maintenance can hurt, it could hurt the church. It can hinder the growth of a church when it holds back the efforts of workers. High maintenance, when one puts unnecessary or unneeded attention to those that are slacking or not doing their fair share, not doing their workload, it holds back the efforts of those workers that are needed elsewhere to do other things that are important and are needed. Serious needs many times go unmet when the time is taken away for unnecessary things rather than what they should be doing. So we as individual members of the body must do our part to be as self-sufficient as possible. High maintenance can hurt when babes in Christ are not being helped because others expect the coddling and constant attention, and when the sick and dying are being neglected because others require that attention that shouldn't be so. We should gain in strength and do our part to take care of ourselves and to study and learn more about the Lord ourselves and strengthen our own faith ourselves. There are times in our spiritual lives when we all require some high maintenance, but to avoid keeping it from those who really need it, we should give serious thought and effort toward the defeat of high maintenance through individual growth. As I said, we need high maintenance when we are babes in Christ, but we should reach a point where we do not need it anymore, when we can become the providers and not just the recipients. Consider the unfortunate case of the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verses 12 through 14. "For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." If we are stay and remain on milk, we're certainly not going to have our minds and our senses and our hearts exercised properly to the point where we are strong enough to discern, to differentiate, to determine what is good and what is evil. Certainly we need to study. We need to move on after we've learned the first principles of Christianity, learning about who God was and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, learning what God did. He sent His only begotten Son to come to this world to die for us. Moving beyond that to the cross of Christ, well, what He did on the cross, He bled for us to cover our sins, and why He did it, because He loved us. Certainly we need to move on further and further and give our minds and our hearts more and more instruction from the Word of God. Nobody can do it but our own selves. We must study and learn for ourselves. Certainly coming to a congregational meeting or a service to hear someone else speak is well and good and in proper order. But we should study our own selves so that our one objective is to be stronger in the Word, that we can stand on our own two feet and help those who can't. In 1 Peter 2 and 5, you've heard this before, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We know in the first principles of the oracles of God that Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's the chief cornerstone of His kingdom. He's the basis. He's the foundation. His blood was shed to purchase the church that we are members of today. We as lively stones, living stones, basically are, so to speak, the walls of that church. We make up that building. A building is not a building unless it has a strong foundation. It has walls, it has the floor, and it has, of course, a roof. Certainly those, we as members of the body of Christ, referred to as living stone, were the walls and the covering, the ceiling. We should be living stones constantly growing. They're not dead stones, walls that without any upkeep or maintenance, so to speak, fall apart at the joints where the walls would fall down. We are lively stones. We should constantly stay maintained by our own selves, if possible, and grow. Those walls of that church, that building, basically, in a way, should reach the sky, should continue to build higher and higher and higher. And that's the object of the Church of Christ, is to preach Christ crucified and to grow and to bring as many people into the house of the Lord as possible. To bring many people into the vineyard of Jesus Christ. And we as workers, strong workers that have gotten the exercise that we needed through reading His Word, to do our will and to do our part and to bring other workers in. The defeat of high maintenance, of course, can be done through individual strength. Strength from brethren is certainly helpful when we need it. And it should always be there and it should always be available. We should always be willing to offer it, even when not asked, and we see the need. But we should also reach a point where our strength comes from God, where we can become the producers and not just the consumers. Consider the remarkable example of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 chapter, starting in verse 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Certainly we are not to feel sorry for ourselves or be full of self-pity. We should look for strength in the Word, look for strength in God and Jesus Christ in faith, knowing that He will strengthen us if we have our minds right and our hearts right. Certainly we can do all things through Christ, and that's where we should get our strength from. And in conclusion, my purpose has not been to discourage high maintenance by all means when it is rightfully needed. We are to bear one another's burdens, we are told in Galatians 6 and 2, and we are to bear the infirmities of the weak in Romans 15 and 1. We are that we, as strong Christians, should bear the infirmities of the weak and help those that can't help themselves. My desire is to challenge you to think about your service to Jesus Christ. We all should ponder that over our minds each and every day during the week, especially when we're away from here, to work out our own salvation, to be our own best critic, so to speak, in the Lord, to ask ourselves, are we doing all that we can do? We are to reflect about our work that we're doing in the kingdom or the lack of that work. In Galatians 6 and 4, let every man prove his own work. Are we bearing our own load? There are many in the workforce today that look at their other fellow colleagues, and usually when they're not doing their fair share, they're not doing their load, they're castigated They're scolded publicly. They're gotten after by their other people to get on the stick, to get on the ball and do your fair share. I'm not here to do yours and mine. We should all be mature enough to know what our load is, what our what we can take on for ourselves, and of course not go over that limit. But we should always strive to do the best that we can and do all that we can for the cause of Christ. Galatians 6 and 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. When a burden becomes unbearable, that is when we need high maintenance from our brethren. When failure to bear our load requires high maintenance, that is when we hinder the cause of Christ. I'd like to close with Proverbs, the 18th chapter, and verse 9. King James Version, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Let us ask ourselves, are we high maintenance? Do we need the coddling? Do we need the efforts of everyone to help us? And we're not willing to help ourselves. Certainly, we should help ourselves. We've done the first step by obeying the gospel. And the second step is to remain on that path. And the third step is to grow and gain strength so that we can help others find that path, so that others may walk that path and come into the kingdom of the Lord. If there be one this evening, the desire and the service of the church, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?